o'clock, we'll call a regular town board meeting for the Tunnel Act Climate Order on October 7th, 2015, at 1 p.m. Members of the board are present, the media has been notified, and the motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made in second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Need a motion for approval of vouchers of $16.47 to $16.49 of the ambulance fund and $48.020 to $48.071 of the general fund.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Motion been made in second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Need approval of the minutes of the September 16th, 2015, regular town board meeting.
I'll make approval, it's so red.
Second.
Motion been made in second, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Approval of the minutes of September 23rd, 2015, special town board meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made in second, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Treasurer's report.
Very quiet month. The only income that we really had was the standby for the upcoming King of the Cage, or whatever that thing is called, and the money that's still coming in from the transfer station. It's still pretty good. And so therefore, in the general account, we have $1,700,833.19. And in the ambulance account, we have $413,096.03.
I'll make a motion for approval.
Second.
Motion been made in second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Item number eight, presentation, broadband internet services by Paul Osterman, and I take it it's Northwoods Connect.
Correct.
You have the floor.
Okay, so I just wanted just to quickly introduce myself and the company. We provide wireless internet. Right now we have service in Rhinelander, parts of Minocqua, Hazelhurst, Squirrel Lake, the town of Lynn, and we're expanding to some other areas in Oneida County. As I mentioned, we're wireless internet, so we provide it through the air. It's a little bit different than what you might have seen around the area. We use a cellular protocol, so it's much more robust, can offer faster speeds, penetrate the trees a little bit better. Right now we use what's called WiMAX. You can kind of think of it as Wi-Fi on steroids. And we just applied for a state grant to go towards what's called LTE. LTE is something you've probably heard of with your cellular devices. Given LTE, we can go as fast as 80 megabytes a second. Right now we offer plans up to 8 with WiMAX. I just say that just to let you know that we are progressing and we are providing fast speeds. So I kind of want to just to let you know what we do. We are in the area, born and raised, Rhinelander. We've been providing service for about a year, and we're growing pretty fast. We've received dozens of inquiries from Lactoflammable residents requesting that we provide service up here. So I reached out to Nancy and asked if I could attend, just to at least let you guys know that we are around. And we'd love to help out in providing broadband internet.
Yeah.
What are you asking of the town board?
I just wanted to do an introduction, let you guys know that we are around and we do have the capability to provide the internet service.
I see here you provided down the Squirrel Lake area. Is that off of those towers that the town of Minocqua built?
It is not. It's actually off the DOT tower, which is right on Squirrel Hill, the Winter Park.
Oh, okay, with the old fire tower?
Right next to it.
Because currently we have a tower out at our transfer station that we share with Vilas County. We have our road crew equipment on, and Vilas County has their sheriff's department equipment on.
Sure.
It. Would that be something that could be feasible, possible to use? It's a 300-foot tower.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we generally like to stay above 200-foot, but we could go down to 180. In northern Wisconsin, it's hard to go much lower than that due to the trees.
What's required?
Go ahead.
What's required then of us or the community as a whole to
get you going?
To get you to do that.
Sure. So there's a couple of options. As a startup company, it's hard for us. It's not cheap for us to bring our equipment, to buy our equipment. A one tower setup and just the equipment alone is roughly $40,000. Now you can get away with doing some of the cheaper stuff, which some of the other providers do around here. But we chose to go the more expensive route just because it provides a better service, which allows us to provide faster speeds as well. So it's roughly $40,000 per tower site. If you have to build a tower, that's a whole different situation. But so there's different ways of funding. Minocqua subsidized with those towers. We just applied for a state grant, which basically the state pays for the equipment. You have to have a public-private partnership. We did that with Hazelhurst, Minocqua, Oneida County. So there's ways for funding to get those sort of projects. It wouldn't necessarily have to come from Lac du Flambeau. The state grant actually just expired, but they will be doing another one next year.
So what's the distance, the perimeter of the area that you could serve if, you know, from a...
From a tower, if you're 200 feet.
From a 250 feet, say, example.
It's dependent on that customer's location. But this technology can go 5 miles from a tower, a radius of 5 miles. Generally, our experience in northern Wisconsin, 2 to 3 miles, you almost can guarantee service. So anywhere from 3 to 5 is kind of iffy. It's dependent on that house, the elevation of the house, if there's trees completely surrounding it.
Which we have a lot of.
Yes, yes.
Well, there is some obstacles, because I know there is other people that have leases on the tower.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So, and
SonicNet has.
And then there's also the issue of, is it compatible, or would it interfere?
Well, those are all things you'd need to look into.
And I've worked with them. I know they're on the Minocqua Tower, so I know the frequencies they use, and they just put in their clause, nobody else can operate on these frequencies, and we don't. We're on a different frequency.
Have you ever checked with the owner of the tower up by Squaw Lake?
I have not.
I think it's a cell tower. I don't know who's owning it.
Oh, are you referring to the one just north of 70?
Yeah, just north of 70, out by the,
sure,
what would be the Vilas Oneida Price County line.
Sure. Yeah, I have. That was formerly owned by Verizon.
It was Alltel originally, mm-hmm, wasn't it?
And American Tower bought all of Verizon's towers, so Verizon's no longer in the tower game. Mm-hmm. American Tower owns all of their towers, so it's actually a good thing for companies like us, because Verizon was just ridiculous.
And the reason I ask is, you know, if you're looking at coverage for the town, yeah, we've got one tower, but, you know, if that's only going to go 5-6 miles, where could you possibly get coverage for the rest of it?
Sure, absolutely. And there's also, Minocqua owns that Mercer Lake Tower.
Yeah.
And we're actually in talks with them too. They're trying to get us to go out there, but it's a very short tower, so we have to justify.
They're not building them very high.
No.
What are those, 150 feet or something?
They're 180 foot, but the top 30 foot is covered already.
Yeah.
So I think this committee would be very interested in learning more, and I think what we really need to know from you is what your expectations are of the town. Now, we are going to be working on budgets here, like, real soon.
Sure.
It's almost too late for this budget cycle.
Sure.
But we at least would like to know what you're asking. I would like some comparisons of what you're doing with other townships.
Absolutely.
I do believe that it's very important that we move forward, because then one thing that holds this community back is, I refer to it as a third world community,
mm-hmm,
with what we deal with as far as communications here.
Sure.
So I'm very interested, I would think the rest of the committee is, and I would like to learn more, and I would like to pursue it, but I also know that we do have other obligations with other committees and or other companies,
mm-hmm,
and I just don't want to start like a bidding war,
sure,
favoritism, and I'm just saying, as I'm open-minded.
Jim?
Bidding war is not a bad thing for the consumer.
We're already committed to other people.
It's not exclusive though, right? But I have a question. I have a question for him. Does SonicNet use WiMAX?
That's something you'd have to ask them. I don't believe so, but...
Okay, and the other thing is, I didn't get the sheets you handed out to them, but do you have a website?
Yes.
And does that have your fee schedule on it?
It does.
Okay.
This is more or less introduction. I don't know. It does have a website on where you can look at
that
you. Back page.
NorthwoodsConnect.com. But yeah, you know, it would be something that we'd be interested in looking at. And with our tower, yeah, you know, we've got commitments to Vilas County, to our equipment that's up there for fire and ambulance and road crew. You know,
okay. Absolutely. So that's the tower that the town owns?
The town and county own it together.
Gotcha.
We built
okay.
it together.
Sure. Okay.
And it's often helpful just to have a town government co-sign on a grant application or...
Absolutely.
Or be, you know, show the increase that is, go a little further.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And actually, the state grant requires that there is a public-private partnership.
Believe it or not, this building here doesn't even have Wi-Fi.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Don't let me on it.
You gotta ask.
You're right. It's not public Wi-Fi. It's cut our use of these places.
Well, thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
And I guess, yeah, if you could get that together, you know, what we may be looking at in terms of trying to get something started.
Sure.
And other towers in the area that you're looking at that, you know, might help us as a whole rather than just the one, that would be real helpful to us.
Absolutely. I have Nancy's contact info, so I'll just...
Yep.
Send her some information.
Okay.
Very good.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll get out of your hair.
You're not in our hair. Item number 9, discussion action, Sandy Coast.
Thank you.
Smith School have to feel that Pete hasn't, he's got their, the, they've got something done, but they haven't sent them.
Right.
So we'll put that on our next one.
Matt?
Yeah.
I just have a piece of, I don't know where you are in this process and what you're looking at, but I just spent 2 weeks driving across Canada, and I saw a lot of salt sheds with the vinyl tops on them.
We're looking at those.
Yeah.
We're looking at that, another company that does the wood frame structure,
yeah,
with the wood frame top. But yeah, we're looking at their concrete bases with a vinyl top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those have been more and more prevalent and seem to be a little bit cheaper,
yeah,
to build, so...
Thank you.
Review for approval bartender's license application for Robert Chase Park.
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Approval of ambulance standby request, King of the Cage event, October 17th, 2015.
Check has been received. I have the certification of insurance.
Is that for 3 hours?
Thank you. No. Yeah.
6:30 to 10:30. 4 hours.
That's 4 hours.
4 hours.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Number 12, discussion, Burlington Lakes Association to address state shoreline zoning law. Ralph.
I have 5 copies of the letter for the board.
Thank you.
And then I'll just sit in front here.
Next time we receive this stuff, I'd really appreciate it if we'd get a little earlier so I could actually read it before.
We'll try to do that.
They did drop off some information yesterday. Yeah, with assessed value, not this.
The president of our club is out of town today, so I'm substituting for her. And again, it's Crawlingstone Lakes Association. And to maybe do a overview of the key issues, one is shoreline zoning, and the other is local control. Those are the two things I want to talk about. And, you know, and I think you probably can guess that we're firmly against the recent changes in Act 55. And the issues there have to do with how it was slipped into the budget bill, and there was no public discussion about what they did. In fact, I went online in Act 55 to try to find the issues related to shoreline zoning, and it's buried in there someplace. I never did find it. I found all kinds of other information. Now, it's an issue that's very important to Vilas County since we have the most lakes in the state. And another thing is Lac du Flambeau itself, the town of Lac du Flambeau, has the highest on-water assessed valuation in the county. $837 million are on-lake assessed value. That's 92% of our total assessed valuation. And the information is in that packet that I gave you. I think you know, our whole area is supported by tourism and also by retirees. And most of those people consider the quality of the lakes and the shorelines as critical to why we're here. I think you're aware I've been coming up here since I was a little kid, and we finally retired up here. We started in World War II and sometimes took the train up here. We had family friends on Big Crawling Stone Lake on the north end of the lake. That cabin was just torn down within the last 2 years. Our family bought property in 1950, and we built our cabin in 1951. And none of the rules that were available at that time, or all the work that's been done to update them, have been a hindrance to us. And I'll just make a comment. I happen to own four different properties on three different lakes in Flambeau. I know we can't go back. You know, it's not like it was in the 40s and 50s when we first started coming up here, but we can still protect the watersheds and the lakefronts. I happened to personally help start the Lake Association on Little Crawling Stone, and then about 5 or 6 years ago, we expanded it to Big Crawling Stone. And over time, more and more lake associations have been formed in this area, all with the intent of trying to protect what we have, not to limit development or keep people from coming up here, but rather just to make, we're an educational association, incidentally. We don't have any legal powers. We just share with people. We reopened, if you remember, the channel between Little Crawling Stone and Big Crawling Stone. That's used by a lot of people, not just on those two lakes. And this last summer, again, we had a person there all day long, three days of the weekend, from Memorial Day to Labor Day. Now, we get some funding from the DNR to do that because we have lots of volunteers from our lake association. We put in a lot of hours. And, in fact, it's kind of an interesting assignment. I do that once in a while and talk to the people that are bringing the boats in. Slowly but surely, more and more people are learning why we're trying to control invasives and what the impacts are. I lived in the Twin Cities for a number of years, and 30 years ago, you could go out to Lake Minnetonka, and all the bays of the lake were covered. You could not take an outboard completely through a bay without having to lift the motor and knock the stuff off of it. So it's been around for a long time. Somehow we've been blessed so far that the chain has not had, especially Eurasian water milfoil, which is the one I was talking about. So our lake association has been working hard to try to keep this as a quality area. We do believe in local control. You guys and Vilas County are the ones that should be making decisions on how our lakes should be managed, okay? And I don't see where there's any particular limitation with the rules that have been passed over the last couple of decades. We've had committees representing especially the county that have worked with developers, with real estate people, with owners, with lake associations, with everybody that had an axe to grind in this, and they've come up with very reasonable rules that we can all live with. But for some reason, the legislature decided to toss that all out. And I'm going to use one example of that. I currently have over 1,300 feet of frontage for sale on one of the small lakes that's considered a more pristine lake. It's zoned so that the maximum lot size has to be at least 500 feet. Apparently, I can now go and subdivide that and have up to 13 properties on the 1,300 feet. I don't think that's in our best interest. Now, we have access to the lakes. A lot of people live around, don't live on the lake, don't pay the higher property taxes, and yet still have access to our lakes. We want to make it attractive to people because that's the base that's most important to us. There have been studies done, both by the state of Minnesota and the state of Maine, that address the issue of how important is the quality of the water, the lakefront, development, all those kinds of things. And it helps our property values. It does not hinder our property values. People want to come up here. Why do we all have people all summer long staying with us, relatives, friends, staying in different resorts around the area? Because it is a desirable area. I'm really proud to live here. So to summarize it then, we strongly recommend that you guys, and you wouldn't do it at this meeting, I know it would have to be at a subsequent meeting, but pass a resolution against the Act 55. I don't see this as a political issue. This has to do with the quality of our lakes. We're the best people to do it. You're the right people, along with Vilas County. And I know Vilas County's gone through, so they voted against it. Now they voted barely in favor of it. Now they're going to vote it again. And we're going to try to influence that as much as we can, because again, it's in our best interest. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ralph.
I don't know if you have any questions, or I think you guys understand most of the issues.
Yeah, and you know, it's a newer act. There's still a lot of information or reading between the lines that people are doing. In fact, well, Sue had given this to me just prior to the meeting. It was a memorandum from Kate Lutz, Shoreland Policy Coordinator for the DNR, I take it. And it kind of goes through a question and answer thing, and I haven't gotten through this yet. I was reading it before the meeting.
It's confusing to try to understand.
Well, as I was reading it, I was sitting here hollering back to Sue, asking her questions, you know, what do they mean here and what do they mean there? And that's why, yeah, it's confusing. You know, the one that was real confusing was with the lights. They were talking about, well, you know, it's okay to have lights. But, you know, as long as they're shining in your yard, well, everybody knows when you shine a light on the lake, it reflects and goes out. Now, how do you deal with stuff like that? I don't know, you know. Anyway.
But the new law removes you guys and the county from any influence over that.
No, we can still have our zoning ordinance. Our ordinance is not a shoreline zoning ordinance.
Yeah, correct.
Our town ordinance is a general zoning ordinance, and the rules are different for that.
The county trumps the town. The town is not here to regulate shoreline zoning. Vilas County is the enforcer of, through the states. It's the U.S. Trust Doctrine is handed down through the state, and the state then is allowing the county to take care of the shoreline zoning. This is very unusual that a town would get involved in shoreline zoning because the county trumps it. And my experience of what I've learned in the last few years at the county is people, if they decide to take it to their municipal court, we've had very little to stand on in the last 8-9 years just because of the way the ordinance was drafted within the county. So there's a lot of things that need to change. But I don't think you're looking at the body here right now that is to enforce shoreline zoning. I don't think that is
our requirement. Well, when Sue issues a permit for a home that's going to be on a lake, there are rules about setback that we have to follow. There are rules about the area of square footage, how the setbacks from the side lot line, all those kinds of rules that are related to shoreline zoning, but not necessarily the shoreline zoning ordinance.
And I'll be right up front about that also. It has concerned me about double charging. When the county is charging the same permit, and they're the actual governing body over the shoreline zoning, I am not in favor of everybody getting charged multiple times to do the same project. And there are certain things that I do disagree. My family's been here since 1945. I remember when we would put septic systems in, and I'll guarantee you, there was no zoning permit acquired, okay? I don't know, when do you remember?
Cesspools, that's what we originally had.
When do you remember zoning actually coming to your property and doing
I always had the feeling that we had the 75-foot setback. I mean, I'm just kind of picking on my memory bank.
Did that state law?
No, but it didn't.
But I don't know when that started.
Until the 60s.
Because our cabin is 75 feet back.
Right. What I'm just saying is, one thing that I've always urged lake committees, mm-hmm. especially you must have some type of a roster of people that are able to join. There has to be some requirement.
I've always said anybody within 2 miles of our lake, if I remember right, can join. But go ahead.
And I've always been really disappointed because every time I ask them is, what are your requirements to bring that card from the county that says your septic system is inspected and pumped? And I've yet to have one of them say, no, that's not a prerequisition of joining our club. And that disappoints me because I think in order for anybody to be involved and own anything within the lakes, and I think that's been our biggest achievement at the county,
is that everybody, once you get a permit of any sort, we put you on a 3-year cycle, and there's an inspection and a pumping.
But sometimes it takes a sale to force the person to do that.
But excuse me, you have the ability for them to join your club, and you don't do it.
Well, now you're getting into a touchy area for what is our function.
Understandable.
Our function is not to legislate or to control. Our function is to educate.
100%.
Okay. So that things like that run off from a, you know, not an effective septic system into the lake, that is an important issue to us. But I don't see how we can require that. I can't speak for the whole organization.
Well, it might be something that you look at, say,
sure.
Hey, do you want to join us? Bring us your little card you get every year.
I don't know why you can't require everybody to conform.
Politically, it would have been.
There's a limited, not that many people. I mean, there's a limited number of violators compared to those of us that have, conforming systems.
Clackamas County has led the crusade on it.
Right.
We're further ahead than any other county. We do have the most occupancies on lakefront, so we really set the standard high.
Remember, Lake Minocqua did a really interesting study a few years back where they actually point sampled all the way around the lake and found out where they picked up.
Yeah, the tribe's done some of that too here, I think.
Big study.
Well, yeah, we can look at this, and like I said, I'd like to read this.
Yeah.
I think it's awful early for us to really be trying to
decide
what's
going
on.
Yeah, and you hear a lot of things. I know one thing that was with the lake buffer where they said, okay, now the lake buffers are gone.
Right.
Well, from what I'm hearing now and reading in some places, the county can still establish a lake buffer, a buffer area.
Vegetative buffer.
Yeah, vegetative buffer area. They say, well, the minimum lot size now, they call it a maximum, is 100 feet. So you can't require 150 feet, but that's not to say that somebody like you, if you have, 1,000 feet of frontage, that you subdivide it into 2 500-foot lots. I don't know. And then there was something else in here, too, about some deed restrictions that you can't put on yourself or something.
No, you can't. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and that's why there's a lot of questions. I don't know what's in this thing yet.
That's the problem. It was passed with no input from virtually anybody, okay? It was buried in a budget bill. And we're left in the lurch now to try to figure out what are the implications of this.
Well,
it should be retracted and rediscussed as to what are.
As I read it, they refer to a lot to it that it's in conformance with NR 115.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and which is what everybody wanted. They wanted the passage of NR 115. They pass this, and then they say, no, we don't. So I guess at this point, I don't know.
Again, there's a brief window. The legislature is back in session shortly. It's only going to be in session, as I understood it, for a month or so. And after that, it's
July
done.
14th, though.
What?
This took effect July 14th.
Right, right. But so it can be retracted.
Well, that or wait until the next mm-hmm. legislative session, which will be in January.
And so that I can now go through my 100-foot lots.
Exactly.
And there's nobody going to control that.
Yep.
That's not right.
Well, we agree with you.
We worked for 20 years. We worked for 20 years to get the rules we have now.
The town's zoning ordinance, Sue, correct me if I'm wrong, requires 200 feet of frontage for any newly created subdivided lots.
Yeah, so
we are in agreement, but
well, if you're really in
not,
the control,
wait, it
you know, I think there's a question mark there.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have to wait till another governor. I mean, to be right up front with you, because I worked lengthy hours on NR 115. You cannot imagine the mm-hmm. amount of time I spent on that. They used Vilas County as the footprint, and then when the new administration took effect, it went from, when Mr. Doyle presented it in the beginning, it was to make a streamlined avenue for commerce. It was to allow and simplify the application fees so people could actually start building, and it would make it a lot easier. It was to promote commerce, to get contractors building homes and remodeling. And then it got bogged down, and then it got really weird, and then we got a new governor, and then it really changed. So I'm saying is, I don't think it would matter what this board says.
I think there's an issue there. That's an appropriate issue. That doesn't change input from citizens.
Correct.
And from town boards and county boards that, hey, we don't agree with this. Whether it eventually gets changed is another issue. But if you don't take a position on it...
See, we don't know whether we agree with it or not because we don't really know what impact it's going to have on our ordinance. We don't know how the county's ordinance is going to change.
But that's why...
That will require our ordinance to change.
That's why it should be rescinded.
So we don't know if it's bad or good until we have an...
Well, it's hard to figure out how it's going to be good.
And there's a whole lot in here, Will, that we just can't really figure out what the impact is. When it says that a person, it's designed to allow people to keep what they have. Sue, would you tell the story about the people that you told me yesterday?
The one with the foundation?
Yes.
Last spring, some people called my office. They have a house on Indian Waters Lane. And one corner of the front of the house is 25 feet to the lake. The other corner is 50 feet to the lake. The front of the foundation is stone. It's collapsing, and the house is going to start to tip. They had Gail and I come out, and...
Gail is from the county zoning.
Yeah, Gail from Vilas County Zoning. And according to the county's interpretation of maintenance, it wasn't maintenance. They wanted to replace their foundation so their house wouldn't fall into the lake, basically. The county would not let them at all, not even repair a corner of it. And I believe it's a misinterpretation, but I'm not going to get into that. As soon as this budget was passed, I called them, and they're getting a brand new house. It's not changing the footprint. They're getting a new foundation and a new house in the same footprint. And part of this is a good benefit because I'm going to get mad. These kind of things make me very upset when zoning people try to control people through their own personal opinions on things. I do believe, yes, some of the parts of the new laws are not good, but part of this is really going to benefit some people so they can keep their house.
And that's what compromise is.
No debate on what Sue just said. You know, I think everybody here pretend to agree with that. But the primary concern, as far as I'm concerned, is the local control issue. And I'm here with the Crawling Stone Lakes Association on your behalf, believe it or not. It really bothers me to see Vilas County or any other governmental group in the area even move toward giving up its authority toward Madison. I would rather you and the tribal council and the Vilas County Board address these issues on behalf of the residents of Vilas County and Lac La Flambeau, not people down in Madison who have a different agenda and a different perspective on things. It's different here than it is there. And we should maintain the flexibility we have here to do what's right, to protect the water quality of this area, to combat the aquatic invasive species that could kill this area, and to protect shoreland zoning issues for the betterment of Lac La Flambeau. So what we're asking for is you not to wait necessarily, because the more we wait, it'll be too late. We're trying to get people to stand up and say what they believe in so that we can protect the overall area rather than waiting for others to tell us what we're supposed to believe in. The legislature is going to start meeting on the 20th for a very brief period of time. And during that period of time, this issue is going to come up with a movement toward going back to the original zoning issues. The county is going to be meeting again on October 27th at 6 o'clock in Eagle River Courthouse to readdress this issue, you know, one more time. I think, from my perspective, it would be very helpful to all of the people in Vilas County, particularly Lac La Flambeau, if you would say what you believe. Forget the laws. Just say what you believe so we all have an understanding as to whether you're in favor of the water quality, shoreline zoning is appropriate, and the elimination of aquatic invasive species or whatever else it might be. And I didn't make those three issues up. A couple of years ago, as you know, we had a community-wide survey. About 1,000 people in Lac La Flambeau responded to it, and they identified three issues of paramount importance to them. One, the degradation of water quality. Two, the prevalence of aquatic invasive species, and three, the degradation of shorelines. There's clearly a mandate out there to pay very close attention to what's going on with these issues. And the more we wait, the more likely somebody else is going to be telling us what we have to do and how we have to do it. Sue's concerns can be addressed, but I don't know if they should be addressed in Madison. They ought to be addressed up here. End of speech.
It's the crown jewel of Black Hills.
Sue?
Yeah. I really understand your concerns. My feeling is, though, you're barking up the wrong tree. The town board as an entity doesn't vote as far as the county board is concerned. Each individual votes for whoever represents them. Have you folks been to the county board meetings with these issues? If you haven't, that's where you need to go, because they reversed their decision. Mm-hmm. And they understand who votes for them. The town board doesn't vote for them. You guys vote for them. And if more people speak up to the county board, I think they'll understand just how important this is.
Well, and I think it's real important, no matter how a person's feelings are or what your opinions are, that you contact your state representatives, and in our case, Janet Bewley and no, not Tiffany's not ours. Beth Meyer. I think that everybody in town who has an opinion should contact those two and let them know. You know, this was done by the state legislature, and that's where the real fight should be. If you want to repeal it, change it, or make it better in whatever way you think. And you know, for years I've always said, people down in Madison in the southern part of the state are trying to run our lives. Right. The government down there is trying to save us from ourselves. Why don't they just leave us alone? But they don't. Madison has been trying to run northern Wisconsin since 1848. Yes, Rob?
I think we agree with you on both the county level and on the state level. There's no question we have to get more involved with those, you know, legislatures. By the same token, you're still part of the puzzle here, and you sit on top of the highest valuation in the whole county.
I'll guarantee you something, is I'm going to poll the county board. I will do that on behalf of me, okay, because I want to know exactly what their sentiment is, because it did kind of concern me a little bit that they were all in favor of it, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden it was overturned. It wasn't overturned because it lost, it was because it was a tie. Somebody obviously didn't show up for their job that day.
Yeah, there's one person that didn't show.
So that is something that I think every one of you should do, is you should be polling your supervisor and finding out what's
definitely
going on.
Definitely contact your county supervisor, because it is true, the state hands the power of shoreline zoning down to the county.
That doesn't even address the town. I mean, the town is not included in the law.
The county sure is not.
Well, the town is mentioned in the law, as I understood it. Counties and towns.
Well, they do, because there are some towns who have not adopted county shoreline zoning, so they regulate themselves.
We never adopted the county shoreline.
No, we never adopted it, but the county has taken control. It's same with Oneida, but I think there's a few in the state. But the county is not going to give the town control over shoreline zoning, that's for sure.
Well, the only one township is Winchester, correct? Is Winchester the only one that has shoreline zoning?
Them and Presque Isle, but they still fall under county zoning. Yes?
I think what the Lake Association's asking is that you guys, okay, back Vilas County, and say that we want local control here. Vilas County may do the shoreline zoning, but if you say, you as a board, back Vilas County and want our zoning to be what it was, I think that's all we're asking, is that you support the idea. You know, we know you don't have control, but support it with some sort of resolution or letter to say that we back Vilas County, we want the zoning the way it was, we want the way it was. And that's basically it.
And I think it's true, and Sue kind of pointed to it, is when this pendulum swung, it made a huge swing all the way to the other side. But now there are a lot of things out there or that are supposedly in this that I want to look at, like the non-conforming uses, you know, where they were telling people, falling down, you got to tear it down, nothing you can do.
But you can change that locally.
Exactly, and
why should the state change it? You should.
But if they say that you cannot be more restrictive or less, you know, they have those kinds of phrases written into the law.
Right.
So sometimes you can't change it locally.
Yeah, but I mean, the state at this point would have to change it. They would have to say, okay, county, you can take over this part of your shoreline zoning, but you still have to leave this with non-conforming structures or this type of thing in there so people don't lose their homes.
Right.
And maybe that's what somebody's idea is, I don't know. They might have pushed that thing all the way over to one side and said, okay, let's let it meet in the middle again.
Who knows?
Yeah, I think there were a lot of hardships over the years.
Oh, right.
And you give the certain people a hardship, and this is what the reflection looks like.
This is what happens.
Yeah, right.
I was always concerned because I'm amazed, we can go to Rhinelander and they can build right over the water.
Yeah.
Any community that's incorporated, they follow a whole different set of rules.
You're under a city.
And that concerned me because it wasn't because I wanted the rural areas to have that ability. I'm just a little concerned of how the Department of Natural Resources can build this huge building over the top of the water and nobody has to answer to anything. And this goes on all the time.
But we're blessed in not having that problem. We would like more development in this area. One of the positives of not having industry here is that we have pristine waters.
My concern was
what they do down there is different than here.
Yeah, but I think that the government should have made them a little more restrictive. That was my concern.
Sure.
Is because the end result is the same whether it's here or there. So I'm just saying that I was really disappointed when as soon as you become incorporated, it doesn't matter if you're in the city, right? Maybe don't salt whatever small.
Well,
it just goes on and
that's
on.
Not a city, but you take a city like Madison around Mendota, pretty much do anything they want. It's within the city limits. It doesn't have to conform to zoning, except what the city tells it.
That's why you want to be connected.
Milwaukee County. City of Milwaukee, City Eagle River. So maybe that is the case that they decided to try to swing this thing as far over to try to straighten it out, real correction.
Often is what government doesn't overreact to things.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I will put this on another agenda once we have a chance to take it in and see.
Thank you.
And I want to read this from the DNR. I think Sue's got extra copies of it too. I don't know if any of you got it. Where it's kind of a summary of it and a question and answer of things that have been questioned or talked about. Because there's things in here that I didn't realize was in it either. So, of course, there's a lot of things that nobody knew about. Thank you.
I do believe the days of Byron Kuhn are over.
Yeah.
You still see the trees, though, along the road.
I take as many of them down as I can.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, a lot of his are dying now, and his rock wall is falling.
They're hard to take down.
He planted spruce trees, and they're all rotten in the middle. Every one of them.
Because they grew fast.
Well, see, there we got some of the people from the Lake Association to clean up the dead trees around that beautiful stone entrance to Crawling Stone Drive.
Yeah, and he paid for that whole thing.
Right. Well, he did it without asking anybody.
Well, yeah,
he
did what he wanted.
Well, back then, a lot of people did.
Yeah, they had to know Byron Kuhn. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to item number 13, and so at this point, the board is going to convene.